Simon Moore in here. Sat here with me mate Cal, hiding away in a bunker under Cheshire countryside. Ain't that right, Fitzer?
Yes, I've got another opportunity. I'm not going to let this go.
No, you're right. You're lucky to be here, aren't you, really, lad? So we've had to make a provision for a club lockdown. Bloody hell. I've got a wage bill as big as Ben Murdoch Messilla's monthly food shop. It's like a bloody bottomless pit. Eating through my slush fund like a fucking wild animal. Anyway, we've had to make some cuts.
Unbelievable.
Cuts? Clean your fucking ears out, Fitzy. For a start, I've had to tell Pricey when everything gets back to normal, I'm not paying any more of them expenses for them team building activities, especially the ones in Las Ramblas. Who's ever heard of resilient cricketers' towers and patatas bravas bridges? Jesus. I didn't float up on the ship canal and arrive easy, you know. Bloody hell. Next on my list is that Luther Burrell. So what are you doing with yourself, lad? I know you're social distancing yourself on that penthouse balcony of yours, but your priorities are getting your hair done and drinking artisan coffee are just not realistic. You gotta pull your finger from out your arse, fella. Anyway, to be fair to the lad, he said he's got an O2 sponsor to help us out. I said, well done. I said, I'm also paying your pay-as-you-go from now on, cocker. Jason Clark. I said, listen, Jason, you've been going under the radar for a long time, getting paid a good wage, but enough is enough, I said. I haven't seen you break a tackle since you've been here. I'm cutting your wages in half. He said, no. He said, I'll change my technique. I'll start leading with a chest. I said, I'll be bust before you make your first bust, lad. Even if you are leading with your bust. Bloody hell. Our staff was understanding, though, eh? And said, I brat you, lad. I'm flogging a dead horse here, fella. I need you to help me out with a few cuts. Anyway, he took it on the nose and dropped 20% just like that. Good lad, that one. Promised him I'd straighten things out at a later date. Not sure if he thought I meant it was a booking him a nose job at Warrington General, but hey-o. Far as Tommy Lyman goes, well, he's a funny one. I said, I won't masquerade around the reductions, Tommy. You're nobody's dummy. He took quite offence, the lad. Said, I'll be hearing from his solicitors, didn't you? From what I've heard, I think he's been soliciting with her already, dirty bastard. Anyway, that only leaves me with two marquees, Blake and Gareth. Largest bloody overhead since Billy Benyon burnt down the stand at Wilderspool, leaving his toupee to dry on top of the electric fire. Silly lad. I said, listen, fellas, you're not got off to a great start. I said, I'm not asking for any cutbacks from you two, and I know Steve Price doesn't articulate himself very well with his misuse of verbs. But what the hell's going on? Anyway, Flakey tells me Pricey told him to go and get a copy of the kick book from Dick Patton. Well, when they went to see him, he gave him a dick book of Dick Patton's. Turns out they'd purposely been playing cock and balls every week. Bloody hell. No wonder this season's been a cock-up, Fitzy. Get me Morrissey on the line. Let's see if we can get that right-wing prick to give a charity gig for some bug roll.
We may be in lockdown, but the show must go on. Coming up in the podcast, we catch up with Steve Price's community call. The Super League referees are retrained. We're joined by a guardian of the Wolves. There's Sam's Ben Curry statistics, your isolated comments and isolation ideas, along with Blake Austin's three culinary dishes. Not forgetting another moronic tackle bags. Daniel lets one get away and Callum has feelings. And we finish with a sing-along. Can you imagine? This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, I'm Rob London, and with the Rugby League at a standstill and with the nation locked down, we hope you and your family are well and living healthily. So it's about time we hear from my two fellow podcasting hermits. Firstly, a statistical recluse that is spending his solitude swooning over Ben Curry's statistics that no doubt we will be informed of in spades over the next hour. Yes, during his confinement, working on a calculation with a logarithm that states every Warrington player fact has an equally balanced caveat and to be named with the acronym SHIT, Statistical Harmony, Isosceles Isolation Theory. Just got it out. It's Sam, batten down the hatches, Sankey.
Yes, hello, Rob. Yes, hiya. What a strange couple of weeks it's been. Yeah, I've been coping okay, but today I put a new felt roof on the shed to keep it watertight and dry because I think Mrs. Sankey will be throwing me out soon after just 1 week of having to talk to each other for 7 consecutive days.
And also coming to you from his underground bunker with a supply of Weet-Bix amounting to a bigger girth than Ben Murdoch-Mazzilla, a podcasting clusterfuck, more paranoid down there in his dugout than Hitler was in his last few days of survival, and undoubtedly replicating the Fuhrer, marrying his long-term partner moments before opening his primrose and blue cyanide capsule, it's Dennis Fortification Waywell.
Thank you. Yes, lovely. Oh. It's not Weet-Bix or whatever you were calling. It's Weet-Abix.
Oh, it has to be the branded. I've crossed over to the Australian one there, have I?
Yeah,
oh,
you have. Absolutely
terribly,
shite. Yeah,
terribly yeah. Sorry. Oh, that's no good. But also joining us in our podcasting lockdown episode, a young man guarding us all in a similar fashion to Oliver Cromwell, who led parliamentary forces in the Civil English Wars and was Lord Protector of England. And this link would have worked perfectly until I realised the statue of Oliver Cromwell is no longer outside the Warrington Guardian because the Guardian has moved. Yes, it's our very own roundhead enforcer, sports journalist from the Warrington Guardian, Matt, Guardian of the HJ, Turner.
Brilliant. I don't think I've ever been introduced in quite such a way, but thank you very much. I think I got about 2 months into my Guardian career before I stopped being guarded by Oliver Cromwell's statue and we moved to our new location. But no, it's good to be on.
Oh, so you were, so it was the Academy, wasn't it? Wasn't it that where it was?
It was, yeah. Bottom of Bridge Street at the Academy. So I was there for about 2 or 3 months. I started at the end of March and then I think it was mid-June that year we moved. So got a couple of months in at the old place.
I remember, Matt, when it was moved over on roller skates. Do you remember that, Sam, when they moved it on roller skates? They picked it. Well, why did they pick it up?
You might say a hydraulic ramp, I think it was, and lifted it up onto wheels and moved it back about 10 yards, didn't it?
So are you in the Eddie Shah building now, Matt? Is that where you've moved to?
We've moved to Centre Park, which is not far from where the old Wilderspool ground was. So it's a bit out of the way. But no, it's nice. It's nice and spacious. It's a bit lighter than the old Academy was. So it's, it's all right.
Okay. Well, I guess now being at Centre Parks, though, you've got the water slides and what you can go out on your bicycles at lunchtime. And there's the rowing on the lake and archery. All those.
Yeah. Plenty to keep you occupied when you're not working.
Okay. Well, there's been no game this week, boys. And obviously there's no games for the foreseeable future. So we're going to have to do this a little bit differently this week. So I think the best thing to do is go straight to the expert. And that's Matt. Matt, Steve Price, you've interviewed him obviously more than once. We had Gareth Walker on the podcast from the Daily Mirror. He said Steve had his guard up a little bit. When he started in Super League, he was still sort of more familiar with the critical NRL press. Have you noticed a difference in Mr. Price in his sort of 2 years or 3 years with the HJ now?
Big shout out to Gareth, by the way. Top bloke.
Big shout out to Gareth up there.
Here we go.
That's part of squeeze that is.
Oh, they're all sticking together, aren't they?
I do get what he means. He when he first came over, he was very cautious around the press and very guarded. Like you say, I've only had a brief experience of working with the Aussie Rugby League press, and I think it was the Four Nations final when it was played at Anfield between Australia and New Zealand, and I think New Zealand were beaten pretty heavily, and poor old David Kidwell came in and he was absolutely savaged by the press, and I thought, my word, I think they're as close to our football press over here than you can get. But he was pretty guarded earlier on, but he's mellowed a little bit. I mean, he still likes to have his finger on the pulse of most things, but I guess, you know, as a head coach, you wanna know what your players are doing and what sort of content's going out there. But I think he's definitely mellowed from when he first came over.
You've interviewed him, what, 3 times now? Have you seen him mellowing in those 3 interviews you've done with Mr. Price?
I think he blossomed once I started asking the questions. you know, I mean, I've got some cracking questions. I mean, I usually phone Rob up just before asking the question, and he comes out with, what was the last one? see if he was ordering a taxi back to the airport when we were up against.
We didn't actually say that, did we? But he was possibly a week away from that happening. Yeah. Have you noticed any tension with him, Matt, in the last sort of, you know, this season with it not quite falling into place? Have you noticed any difference to him at the press conferences?
He's trying to stay as positive as he can do. I mean, I guess that's all you can do. I mean, there's certain things that you don't really want to ask him. If you asked him in a roundabout way about his future and things like that, he would brush it off, as you'd expect any coach to do. But I can't see any visible signs that he might be cracking under the pressure, as it were. But I think he's trying to take it all in his stride, and hopefully, fingers crossed, because I do like the bloke. I do get on with him. Hopefully.
We've had Gareth Walker. Now we've got Steve Price. Jesus.
Yeah. Has he never given you the mean stare when you've asked a question quite close to the bone?
Plenty. I've had plenty of mean stares from Steve Price. But yeah, I think hopefully he's coming out the other side of this now whenever we do get back to action. It's come at a bit of a frustrating...
We nearly mentioned it.
Very nearly, very nearly.
I think you're right there, Matt. We spoke last episode, a couple of weeks ago now, about those two games against Castleford and Hull. And we fought hard and just about beat Castleford. A lot of character, a lot of resilience, Steve Price would have said. And then going into the next game against Hull, who were in a very similar situation, you saw us visibly grow in confidence and then crumble. And we could have been Hull, couldn't we? If that result against Castle had gone the opposite way, it just shows how much of a knife edge sometimes sport can be.
You don't use a knife edge for grumble.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get that 100%. I mean, the Cass win was so important, you know, for confidence more than anything. You know, could they have been better in attack? Probably. But you say the same about Castleford as well. But it was just when I spoke to Steve after the Castleford game and both before the whole game, he described it as a good old-fashioned 15-round championship boxing match. Mm. And I could sort of see where he's coming from because they were both slugging it out, weren't they? And I think it did a lot for confidence. And you could see that at Hull, particularly in the second half, because this is the best I'd seen him playing Super League, certainly for a long time, that second half at Hull.
You know, I've actually forgotten where we are in the table. I've completely forgotten what's going on. But I've just looked. We're in fourth, by the way. We're in fourth now. We're on 8 points. We're only 2 points off the top.
Even before this hiatus, there's a lot of teams.
Close.
Some teams have played four games. Some have played six. Some have played five. It was still very early into.
Yeah, it's all still quite out of kilter. I mean, I think Warrington have played their full complement of seven, where you've got people like Catalan who've only played four, and a lot of teams have only played five, six. So it is all out of kilter. But I think if you'd have offered Warrington fans fourth after seven games, because looking at them on paper, they were a tough opening seven rounds of fixtures that they had. I think the majority of fans would have taken fourth, I think, at this stage.
I think one of the things I want to know, Matt, is that I've been obviously going over to the post-match interviews now for the majority of the season, I think it's fair to say. But one thing I have done is I've sacrificed that early doors catering at both Wigan and Warrington. And we asked Gareth the same question, but what do you think about the catering? What am I missing out on at Warrington? Can you just go through it with me, like exactly what you get?
You're missing an absolute treat. You really are. You need to get yourself down earlier, Dennis. Honestly, it's you can get. Sometimes it can be lasagna. Sometimes you get pie and chips. It's always a warm option. It's never cold sandwiches or anything like that. So yeah, you're really missing out.
It's been coming to Las Ramblas with me and making me buy the most expensive round.
Well, get your priorities right.
Now, Matt, did you interview Tony Smith as well in his era at the club? Were you with The Guardian when Tony was there?
I was. I got about a season and a half of Tony Smith. I actually interviewed Tony on my first day in the job. It was a deadline day and we had to go and speak to Tony for the weekly press conference. Yeah. And he was great with us. He really was. You never had to ask too many questions with Tony because he'd always give you enough. so that you he could almost telegraph what questions you were going to ask. So he talked enough to take up all your questions. So
in the year and a half, that year and a half of interviewing, did he ever look you in the eye? Did you ever get eye contact with him ever?
Well, you always knew when he wanted you to ask a question, because I think that was the only time he actually did make eye contact with you.
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? It's the other way around. That's because he's from Australia. It's like the water goes down the plug hole the different way. We're all geared to do it the other way. So the way it works. Okay, all right. You obviously get to interview a lot of the players, Matt. What's your sort of day-to-day schedule with Warrington? How does it work? You go along once a week or...?
Yeah, most weeks you go along once a week to a match preview press conference.
Which day?
So that's usually... it varies. It depends.
You're not going.
What do you mean? That's what I'm writing this down for. I thought we said we were going to monitor every word he says, and then I'll just basically sort of like, you know, ghost him.
Yeah, it's usually, say, if the game's on a Friday, invariably the press conference is either Tuesday or Wednesday. So how it would work is you'd go down and speak to Steve, and there'd be one nominated player who'd come down as well. So that's my sort of week-to-week involvement outside of game days. You get sort of one afternoon a week where you can go down and speak to players and coaches and things like that.
And they nominate the player, do they? It's not the other way around. You can't sort of say, I want Gareth Widdop this week. It's
if you make a request, they're usually quite accommodating. But for the nominated press conference, they do pick a player out, and you're usually told about that player in advance, so you can... You can plan for it, although sometimes it does get changed because it's worked around the players' training schedules. So it could be that, you know, players have moved their schedules around, or it could be that, you know, one group of players has got strength and conditioning at one time and one's got them at another time, and the groups have switched around. So you might come in the press officer, Rachel, she'd say, oh, you know, I told you it's this player. Yeah. No, it's actually this player. So you have to... You have to plan a whole interview in your head, which is keeps you on your toes, put it that way.
Do you have a set of like 50 questions ready to go?
You tend to ask a few generic ones that you can ask to anybody, but you always try and think of angles for any particular player and what they might be doing and things like that, and what kind of form they're in and things that obviously you can't ask to a different player, but you can usually get through.
What's the most surprising thing that you've found out about any of the players? Because when we had Tommy Lynwell on, we were on about his mannequin, but I think that's, you know, in the media now. So what's the most surprising thing you've found out?
God, that's a good one, that. I remember interviewing Sitaleki Akawala, who's a funny chap to interview. He's a good lad, his Sitter.
Did he buy you a coffee?
He did, actually, yeah. He did buy me a coffee.
Rather than giving you 10 minutes with an interview, did they only give you 3 with him? Was that the way it worked?
I couldn't possibly say. But no, I remember interviewing him. I think it was before they played Huddersfield, because he actually randomly came out and said, outside of any question, oh, do you know Akuma Tai is my cousin? I said, oh. Is that right? I said, yeah, yeah. And so I said, all right, go on, tell us a story then. And, you know, it turns out they go way back to when they were kids and things like that, which is something I never would have known. I never would have thought to ask him. So, yeah, that was a nice little nugget from him.
He's a good lad. He's a good lad. So, I mean, Matt, probably shouldn't talk about this on air, but off air you said that you actually despise Ben Murdoch-Masilla and you think he's a big girl. Do you want to clarify that on the podcast?
Yeah, I'll clarify that on the podcast in case Ben's listening. I absolutely did not say that.
Oh, well, talking of Ben's, Mr. Curry, last week, Sam, we raised him to his highest heatometer, up to a madras. So with your pin-up boy being in lockdown, what curry are you rating Curry this week?
Well, you say he's been in lockdown, but I had the inside track. Obviously, there was a game last week that you've not bothered to get the highlights of. We're a game with lots of firsts. So you might have seen on the Wolves YouTube channel the highlights of Warrington Wolves at Hull KR, which was the first time the RFL have put the away team first before the home team. Ben Murdoch-Masilla captained the team for the first time. Lallana Latu made his first team debut, scored his first try, and Sitter played as one of the pivots. But the game was key for the first time ever. It was the first time ever that a player has
get on with it.
Made more than 50 tackles, made more than 150 metres, and that was obviously, I've gone straight to Opta, Ben Curry, 58 tackles, no misses, six tackle busts, 172 metres, nine loads. Obviously a foul in that game away at Hull KR.
Dennis, bring it back with a bit of normality, please. What Curry this week is Ben Curry?
In the absence of a real game and a real actual player running around, the only substitute that you could think of is, I suppose, a coronation curry.
And today's isolation curry dish is coronation chicken!
Service of coronation has ended.
Right, with no actual games played anymore, you'd think it would be hard for the statistical mastermind Mr. Sankey to come up with any stats. However, with it becoming clear, he makes them up anyway. It's business as usual. It's time for Sam's Statistics.
Statistics caveats bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's twat stats. No. Shitistics. No. Statistics. Yes. Statistics. Yes. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Dear. You know, I'm still not happy with that jingle. And we're meant to be being nice to each other, not taking the piss with jingles, lads. Come on. But there is no game, there is no Super League at the moment. But Wolves have been very, very keen on the old Twitter recently and looking to see who the four legends we would pick. Now, as always with these type of votes, it's very much skewed toward the modern day player, isn't it? And the results were Mike Gregory, Lee Breers, Super Benny Westwood, and, of course, Brian Bevan, who was a few years ago. I think for some of our younger listeners, it might be key to just tell you a couple of Bevan stats and maybe compare them to Lee Breers, because Lee Breers is the Warrington all-time point scorer. Lee Breers, 154 tries, 948 goals, 74 drop goals, 2,586 points. But Brian Bevan.
Those points, Sam, just before we go on, those points, are they calculated based on four for a try, two for a kick?
You've stolen my thunder. Ah! Brian Bevan played 620 games, scored 740 tries, kicked 34 goals. Not many people know that. Oh. Mm. Now, if you make those 740 tries, four-point tries, 3,028 points, so he's actually still the record point scorer for Warrington. And I'm a big fan of Lee, but I'm sorry,
I'm not,
Lee.
I lived there for a few years, and I tell you what, it's a bit of a shithole.
Lee Breers, Dennis, Lee Breers.
Oh, okay, yeah, him as well. Yeah.
But interesting that whenever you have the best 10, the best 20, the best 100, they're all skewed towards the modern day because people remember them. But no Les Boyd, no Jonathan Davies, no Alan Bateman, people that I've seen play. But going further back, Harry Bath, Palin, Challoner, even Andy Gregory and Alec Murphy not in there. We could make a cracking Green team Hill. If we go back far
just,
enough.
Let me just cut in here. Matt, could you just sort of summarise the last few minutes for me? Because I'm not entirely sure I've picked up what he was getting out there.
Matt's too young.
Yeah, I think I am, to be fair. I saw one of the Twitter comments was, where's Graham Apple?
Yeah. Or as we used to call him, Crapo.
There's no need for
here
that
he is. He's down.
He had a wonderful spell of about 15 games. And after that, he was very mediocre.
So are we saying out of the stats, Sam, that even though it is skewed towards a modern player, that everybody is still knowledgeable enough about Brian Bevan?
When you talk about sporting greats, no matter what sport it is, there are always a few people who stand head and shoulders. Usain Bolt in athletics recently, Federer in tennis, Brian Bevan in rugby league. I mean, the man, 620 games and 740 tries. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think second in that try scoring is Martin Afaya, and that's, and he's his 400 tries. No, 300 odd tries fewer than Brian Bevan. It's just, you just can't believe the stats. You must have been, only people who saw him play could probably really understood what he was like. And that's this week's statistic.
Yeah. Just the one.
Matt, the time you've been watching Warrington, who's been your standout player? If you had to pick one player that stood head and shoulders above everyone else?
I think for pure talent and wow factor, I'd have to say Chris Sandow. I know the way he left the club was... I know the way he left the club was, you know, was what it was, but...
Maybe shouldn't say too much there.
No. But for the way he could just... you automatically just went to the edge of your seat or stood up when he got on the ball, because you never quite knew what he was going to do with it. And I think for pure talent and X factor...
Brilliant, isn't he? Brilliant.
The first game I covered for The Guardian was that away game at Wigan that year, 2016, where Sandow just absolutely terrorised them for the first 20 minutes, half an hour. And it was just an absolute procession for him. And then he did his hamstring in that game, and then I don't think he was ever quite the same again. But that's all.
No, he's back to his best now. He's back to his best now, Matt. He's definitely back to his best.
I believe.
We've had an email from Chrissy Sandow this week. He said, would you be able to pull any strings to get me back in the Super League? We are now officially Chris Sandow's agent here at What Bevan, and we're working on that as we speak.
Well, Rob, if we can turn the tables a bit to you, I know who the best player I've ever seen live, but who's yours?
The best player I've ever seen live is not a Warrington player. The best player I ever saw play live was Ellery Hanley. I thought Ellery Hanley was just absolutely super. In terms of Warrington, if you're going to break it down, the best forward I've ever seen play for Warrington was Les Boyd by a country mile. When he got fit, and Super League don't like to mention this, but Warrington did win the Premiership when Boyd was there. I was there that day at Ellen Road when we beat Halifax. Boyd was just immense that afternoon. He was unstoppable for about 6 months between him breaking his arm twice. The best back I've ever seen, I probably put three in there. Best halfback I've seen isn't Matty Andrew Johns or Lee Briers. The best halfback I ever saw for Warrington was probably Andy Gregory. The best halfback in form that I ever saw, which lasted for about 15, 20 games before the poor lad gave himself a serious injury, was Keith Holden. Keith Holden was a superb scrum half. He used to put Mark Roberts through gaps just for fun. But the two that really got me off my seat more than anything else were Jonathan Davis, who was terrific, and also Phil Blake. Phil Blake, even though he played a handful of games for Warrington and his shoe came off every time he kicked over the top, just in a different world compared to some of these players.
I didn't see Blake or Holden, but Jonathan Davis... He was a yard quicker than everybody else before he'd even got the ball. And yet he couldn't have been more than about 12 stone wet through.
I saw Davis play his first ever game at Widnes. He played in the reserve grade at Widnes and he was absolutely shitting himself. They put him out there at fullback in the second half. I don't reckon he weighed more than 11 stone. I mean, it took him a while at Widnes to get him beefed up and be able to play rugby league. But as you say, he was a brilliant player. Dennis, your favourite player, would it be Craig Tightsell or Deck Patton?
Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, you know, whichever way you cut that. The only thing I remember that was generating excitement was Des Drummond back in the day. He was, whether he was ever going to get into a fight or actually score a try. That was it, really.
I was at Widnes again the day he hit the guy that came onto the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bit of a kerfuffle in the corner and the bloke came onto the pitch. I was also at the game at Wilderspool when we were playing Lee and two blokes came on the pitch with planks of wood to try and hit him. And Joe Rapati got hold of one of them and grappled him and Drummond hit the other one.
Yeah, well, good, isn't it?
They were the days. Dear. Okay, it's time to take a look at the Warrington news. This comes straight from Matt. Lewis Johnson suffered a hamstring injury following a reserve grade match against Widnes. Price describing it as a similar injury to Matty Ashton's. Your thoughts on Lewis Johnson, Matt? He's sort of been in and out of the team, hasn't he? But he's not quite ever sort of cut the mustard and got in that first team on a regular basis.
Yeah. So when I asked Steve about that, the last bit of his quote I thought was quite interesting. Obviously, he's going to be missing for a fair while now and he needs to recover from injury. But the last thing he said about Lewis was he needs to work hard and find out what kind of player he wants to be and show it to us. Which I think is quite interesting because he came over as a quite highly rated second rower from Castleford. I think they paid about £45,000 to sign him, which is a lot of money for an 18, 19-year-old kid. And obviously, he'd won Man of the Series for England Academy when he came over. But I think when he's played for the first team, he's usually been used down the middle as a prop, which obviously he's still only young and he's got plenty of going to do and he can put plenty of muscle on. And I just think he's a little bit too rangy and not quite big enough to play down the middle in Super League yet. I mean, that may come. As I say, he's got his whole career ahead of him. But I think that when he made his debut against Wigan that year, I thought he played quite well.
Yeah.
He went to Hull KR and was quite promising there by all accounts. But I think he's got a bit of growing to do if he's going to play down the middle. But I'm certainly a promising one for the future, I think.
I think, Matt, that last year, you might not be able to say, but I know the word I got last year was that they were...
What year was this, Sam?
Last season, they were a bit concerned about his attitude, his mental toughness, basically, and whether he would be prepared to do the hard stuff. There's no doubt in his talent. And then this year, they've been much happier with him and with his attitude in pre-season. And it's a shame for the lad that he just seemed to be getting back to the edges of the team to then get a serious injury that might set him back a little while.
I think Steve, whenever I spoke to him during pre-season, he always name-checked Lewis Johnson as one of the players who had performed very, very well in pre-season. And, you know, he thinks very highly of him. So it is quite a blow for him to have this injury. But I'm sure he'll be this layoff. I don't know if we can mention it yet.
Not miss a single game. He might not miss a single game.
Possibly. But it could do him some favours.
Any queries about these hamstrings? Are we doing something in the gym that's causing hamstrings? We had a bet that Josh Charnley would go ping within about 5 minutes of the first game, Matt, because having looked at his pictures on Instagram, he's just one big muscle now, is Josh Charnley.
He's certainly put a bit of muscle on, hasn't he? But he seems to be holding up all right at the minute.
Remain indoors.
You are now listening to the Rugby League Emergency Broadcast System.
Welcome back to the Warrington Wolves Isolation News, reporting every week on what the players of the Warrington Wolves have been getting up to. Our supercomputer, Lottie, will analyse the web and social media activities each week and randomly select a player and isolation activity for the podcast to analyse. So, without further ado, Lottie, let's plot those dots from those wire clots. And the results are in. It's Flaky Blake Austin and Isolation Goals.
Okay, Blake Austin has taken to Instagram to write, "I've set 3 hashtag isolation goals that will ensure I come out of isolation better than when I went in." He then posted a picture with 3 isolation goals written down. First one was a little bit tricky to read. He wrote, "Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, be able to cock 3 dinner meals by the end of the isolation." Number two, read for 30 minutes every day of isolation. Or 3, go on the road and run every second day of isolation. Dennis, you've got a bit more on these 3 cock dinners.
Well, obviously, I'm the you know, the podcast chef, and I was just having a look at what would be the perfect three-course meal for Blake to look at. Obviously, the one picks itself at the start is a cockaliki soup. Obviously, that favourite of everybody's goes for it quite well. Main course, I've picked obviously a meat, a vegetarian and vegan dish. The first meat one is obviously coq au vin. I think we all agree that, you know, the French cooking is probably one of the best.
Tricky to cook though, isn't it, as a starter? You know, when you're not, if you're a novice at cooking, coq au vin's not where you want to be starting. I mean,
this is a main meal.
Some chicken in a casserole dish and pour a bottle of wine in and leave it for a couple of
hours. Right.
He's probably, but Sam's probably already drank half of that bottle of wine, so it wouldn't be that great. But anyway, for a veggie, you can get a chickpea dick sausage, which is a substitute for a spoon. Sorry. And then the vegan dish, which is a stuffed courgette served with bread and a big knob of butter. Which you could have as your main there. And finally, obviously, again, it picks itself a dessert, a spotted dick.
Okay, now it may have been that beautiful girl, boy, hermaphrodite, intersex or gender fluid person in the nightclub you bonded with, but forgot to grab their number. A bite from a fish on the end of your rod, only for the line to disappointingly snap and go loose. Or when I was leading the number one British tennis player 3 games to love in the 1985 Limlawn Tennis NatWest under 14 boys singles, only to narrowly lose in straight sets. Yes, they're all examples of the one that got away, but here's Daniel to take a look at the wire players that he thought got away.
In these bizarre times that the country finds itself in, I think it's fair to say we're all missing rugby league, we're all missing football, we're all missing sport, and we're all missing a bit of normality. So on the topic of missing things, I've looked at 6 ex-Warrington players that I personally miss. These are my ones that got away. I'm going to start with Kevin Penny. Now, it was only yesterday that I saw the official Warrington Twitter account post a video of Penny's try against Lee in the Challenge Cup in 2015, I think it was. A wonderful acrobatic effort. Kevin Penny scored 63 tries in 92 appearances for Warrington over the course of 2 different stints. And I thought he was a really good winger and a very good try scorer. Scored some lovely acrobatic tries. One away at Wigan from a Chris Sandow kick, more on him later. Which brings to mind the famous celebration against St Helens, even though we didn't end up winning that game. A very lovable player, Penny, and I just feel he's a little bit underrated by our fan base. Never somebody who gets talked about that much, but certainly a player that I wish we could have seen a little bit more of. And he's only 32 and he's retired, and I think it's a little bit of a shame that we're not going to see him in rugby league anymore unless he calls a big U-turn on his career. Moving on from Kevin Penny, another man who linked up with Penny quite well was Chris Sandow, a wonderful, wonderful halfback who had the creative brain just to die for. A really majestic player to watch, particularly in 2016. I mean, for the first half of the season, Sandow was unplayable. It looked like he was on a one-man procession to the Man of Steel award, which he didn't end up winning after tailing off a little bit due to an injury sustained in a game against Wigan. In that game, he was absolutely ripping Wigan to bits. Glorious kick to set up Penny, as I mentioned. A reverse pass to Ben Curry to set Curry up for a try. And a wonderful lofted pass out wide to Lynham, who scored as well. Sandow was the magic man. He was the magic man. And he was the man that made things happen that season. And I just feel that what a shame that he didn't spend any more time at Warrington. A bit of a controversial character because of his exit, but let's not forget what a great player he was. Moving on to someone who is probably more of a legend, if you like, and that's Ben Harrison, who was at Warrington between 2006 and 2016, a big forward who played plenty of games. And I feel that Warrington have lost something in the forward pack in the last few years, certainly since Morley and Carvell have left. But in terms of players who are a bit more recent, Ben Harrison actually only left the club in 2016, which surprised me when I was doing my research for this piece. A really good forward and a really capable player. Joe Westerman also fits in that category. Thought it was fantastic for Hull and now for Wakefield this season. So, you know, could we have done a little bit more with either of them two? I know injuries have hampered Harrison a bit, but Westerman is still going strong. And then I've looked at centre because I think centre is a position that Wire are struggling a little bit at the minute. And I've gone for Bryson Goodwin, who only left last year. But I was a big fan of Goodwin, thought it was very dangerous near the try line, had a lovely step on him, pretty good defensively as well, putting a magnificent display in the Challenge Cup final and also scored in the semi-final. and then Petr Hicku. He only ever played 11 games for Wye, but actually scored 10 tries, which is pretty unbelievable as a record. Nearly as good as someone like Joe Monaghan, who I think got 145 and 145, albeit out on the wing. So those are my six players that got away. Those are my six players that I wish Warrington could have kept for a little bit longer.
Sam, any player that sort of tickles your fancy that you'd have liked to have seen carry on at the Wolves?
Out of them six? Well, I don't feel that Lee Penny. I don't feel that Penny necessarily got away. Sander, we've just talked about with Matt.
He is an excellent player. He's actually on form at the moment. Yeah, he's very good.
Excellent player, but mad as a box of frogs. Westerman had an attitude issue. Ben Harrison, injuries at the end. Bryson Goodwin, we could have had him 3 years earlier. But Petr Hicku, yeah, I'd have him now.
He just didn't want to stay, though, did he, Matt? There was reasons why he went home. We just got him for that short sort of cameo.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think his partner wasn't too big on coming over, which is what put paid to that. But in that short spell, he was just magnificent, wasn't he? And I think if he could have kept hold of him, it would have been fantastic, because he really was a cracking player, Petr Hicku.
Has he carried on playing in the NRL? Is he still holding down a spot there, is he, at centre at the Warriors?
Yeah, he seems to be playing pretty regularly for the New Zealand Warriors at centre there. So I think he's not gone back to sit and play reserve grade, I don't think. So he seems to be doing all right for himself.
They're exactly the players that Super League needs to be looking at. Like your Lola here now at Salford, the players who are maybe the first reserve in the top half of the NRL, you say to him, maybe like Blake Austin, you say to him, all right, you can sit on the bench and be occasional starter in the NRL, or you can come over here and be a big fish. And they're the ones, and it's just finding the right player you can just ignite, and he could ignite Super League.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I mean, like I say, Blake Austin was probably the first reserve at the Raiders, and he was struggling to get a bit of game time, but he comes over here and he's the arguably the star name of the league certainly last year anyway, not just for Warrington, but the league as a whole. And that will appeal to a lot of players, you know, the chance to come over here and be a star, be a face, be a marquee name.
Dennis, any players that you've sort of wished we'd kept hold of, or do you just not pay interest whatsoever when you go to the match?
No, I mean,
you look half asleep there.
No, I was just looking. I was looking at the players, and I was genuinely looking at them, thinking, no. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I'm contractually obliged to say Sandow.
Oh yes. What a marvellous player he was. Okay, right. Time to move on to the Twitter vote. This week was a little bit hard to come up with one, really, based on the fact that we're not playing any Super League. So we've gone with, based on there being no rugby league, what are you missing most about the match day experience? We had four options: A, watching the match; B, the communal experience; C, the beer; or D, bit sexist, and Sam came up with this one, escape the mother-in-law. The final results were watching the match 63%, a clear winner, just for the experience 16%, the beer at 14%, which I thought was a little bit low, and escape the mother-in-law down to 7%. What's wrong with the beer at the Halliwell Jones, only getting 14%, Sam?
A little bit expensive, although Carl has made strides in that area, and they can't pull a pint.
Making trousers now, is he?
Yeah, they can't pull a pint very well. And for someone who prefers an Albarino, there's not much of a wine choice, to be frank.
Oh, you plug in now, are you? Jesus. To that bit of the podcast. Here we go.
Right, well, I guess with no games, it's not just the players that are cooped up. With everyone having to do their Churchillian bit, we are hearing that Super League referees, with the imminent baby boom due in 9 months' time, are now being trained as midwives.
Coming to Sky One soon, Call the Midref, starring Ben Thaler as Midref Thaler.
Oh, go on, get your head in, that's right. No, get your head right in.
It's head out, Midriff Taylor.
Oh, sorry, old habits die hard.
and Robert Hicks as Midref Hicks.
Check the scan first, Midref Hicks, to see if the baby's breached.
Silence! I don't need to go to the big screen. Pass me the faucet.
Oh, what's he doing? Get him away from me! It's an animal!
And not forgetting the indecisive James Child as Midref Charles.
Has she dilated enough, Midref Charles?
I'm not sure. Yes, I think so. Oh, no, hang on. I'm not sure, really. I mean...
Call the Midref, starring your favourite Super League referees on Sky One soon.
Quick, Robert. Quick, James. Get on your bicycles. There's triplets due in Oddsall. Oh, hang on. Does anyone know the combination to my bike lock? Oh, good Lord. What would Mother do?
Matt, have you ever watched something, this midwife programme that's on TV?
I have, to be fair. My other half's a big fan of it, so I do.
Ah, you see? Right. You see? I'll write that down. More midref sketches.
Oh, for God's sake.
Please, no.
Okay, no letter of the week this week or match comments. And obviously going forward, this section will not reappear until we start playing footy again. So in its place, we've moved to a temporary section called
It's time for a new section to the show. Well, I say new. We've just rebadged it. Yes, wait for it. It's time for... It's coming. Yes, here it is. Lockdown. I said lockdown. Yes, lockdown. Lockdown letters. Emails. Texts. Tweets. Twitches. MySpace. Bebo. Friends reunite. Those wankers that write on walls in toilets. You know the ones. Put little dicks on the walls with a sort of hole that turns out to be a glory hole if you stick your cock through it. Not that I'd know that. Anyway, it's time for... Lockdown letters.
Dennis, I hear you have a letter.
Well, it's not a letter. I've been corresponding with someone on email, and anyway, she's a big fan, so I'll just read you what she said. Hi, Dennis. Thank you very much for the pictures of you and the What Would Brian Bevan team. As you know, I'm a big fan and a regular listener of the podcast. I'm looking forward to listening to the Lockdown podcast over the coming weeks and months. So I did send her a picture of us. She's not going to put it on the internet or anything, so you're quite all right. Anyway, I'm really missing going along to the Halliwell Jones and the Warrington Wolves and be gutted if the season is postponed for a longer period of time. After my first week of lockdown, I've been really feeling the frustration of not being able to get out and about, meet my friends, and especially getting dressed up for a night on the tiles. The last time I was grounded was when I was about 18. My dad found out I was dating older boys and clubbing till 2 a.m. at Mr. Smith's. I remember that time vividly, as it was about the time I met my husband and fell pregnant all in the same year. Thinking back, I had a few boyfriends around that time, and I do remember having a brief fling with a guy called Rob Bluffton, who I reckon was a spitting image of your podcast host, Rob London. Anyway, it got me thinking how great it would be to meet Rob Bluffton again. So if you could give a shout out for Rob to get in touch, I would be very grateful. So we should give a shout out, shouldn't we, Rob? Do you want to give a shout out?
Did she leave a name or anything? What's her name?
Yeah. But we're giving her a shout out, say. Anyway, oh, she has something else as well. She has, also, as it's such a coincidence, I enclose a picture of my 31-year-old son, who is also a doppelganger for Rob London. That's nice, isn't it? It's all right. Anyway, thanks, Dennis. Love you guys. Rob is my favourite. And if you could get me a lock of his hair, that would be amazing. Tracy Clure from Nantwich. Tracy Clure?
Doesn't ring a bell. Anyway, Tracy, it's lovely to hear from you. I'm sure we had a wonderful time back in those heady days of Mr. Smith's. Okay, should we move on to the comments we've had? We've had a few different ones this week. Obviously, with there being no no rugby league. We've sort of had to change this, but we've had a whole heap that have come in. I'll start with the first one. It comes in from Hank Marvin. He says, did anyone see Daryl Clark and Tom Lynham hanging out together? Sam, you saw this, didn't you, as well? It was
I did.
I mean, they meant well, didn't they? That was the thing. It was just...
But whoever used the Watt bike second was touching the sweat of the first person. Let's just say that. I bet they didn't clean it down with some baby wipes, did they?
Mr. Hassel has written, I've decided to paint my pergola primrose and blue. I may even do the rabbit hutch to match. Although the way things are going, does anyone know how to cook a rabbit? Chuck steak? For a long period of time, or is it better to be grilled? Sam, you'd know about this. What do you think?
Well, the best one I had actually was from Rick Stein when he went to Bologna. I did that once. And you take the rabbit, you then make basically an omelette. You put the omelette inside. Okay, I tell you what. Move on. I'll DM in the recipe.
Okay, one in from a young lad called Dave Birch. An excellent time for me to catch up on reading again my complete collection of Jane Austen novels, along with watching Horse of the Year Show and Wigan Rugby League Betamax box sets. So that's nice to hear from Dave this week. Keith Chegwank has written in, finally completed his 3,000-piece jigsaw of the Great Britain and Irish Lions Rugby League 1984 tour of Papua New Guinea, featuring both teams at the official gala dinner held outside Parliament House in Port Moresby. Although he did say he's missing a piece of Kevin Ward eating a marinated tortoise. So... just to move on from that one. Staying on the same theme, we've had a tweet in from Simon Bishlops. He writes to say he's completed his deck pattern jigsaw, a picture of Dick's greatest moments. He writes, I completed the four-piece puzzle in just under 20 minutes. The trick was to do the corners first. So that's nice.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Just today. Following up from last week, where have you seen players eating out? We've had one in from Amanda Wollstone-Tone. She thinks she saw Luther Burrell coming out of Alderley Edge Waitrose with a small punnet of Kalamata olives and 250 millilitres of artisan tofu oil. So that's nice to hear that Luther's keeping that up. Derek the Window Cleaner, he's also on the theme. He spotted Steve Broomhead in Latchford outside Emerald Chinese Takeaway carrying what looked like a banquet under each arm. I shouted out twice, all right, Steve, but he never looked back. Which is a bit of a shame. And the final one came in from Bob Spatchcock. He wrote, solitary confinement won't affect me. I played wing for Springfield Borough and my centre was Ian Duane, who went on to play for the Wire. He never passed me a ball once, and as a consequence, I caught hypothermia whilst playing at the water sheddings and had to have a bollock removed. To this day, I'm still known as the Spatchcock Brass Monkey. So that's good to get all those in. Oh dear. Now, with us all in lockdown, we certainly need our spirits lifting. Well, clearly this isn't the moment. Some would say this next section reminds us of the classic Steve McQueen movie Papillon, where at the end of the movie, after years of being locked away, Dustin Hoffman's character goes completely mad. And rather than trying to escape when the opportunity arises, just keeps continuing talking to his vegetables. Yes, here he is, our very own resident podcast psychiatric patient. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
You can see, Matt, I don't get any respect for this section. Yeah.
I thought you were the one true journalist on this podcast anyway.
Matt, if you want to leave and have a little bit of a break, about 4.5 minutes on for.
I'll make it quick.
I'm quite interested to hear that.
Yes, well, see, that's what everyone's like. Anyway, last time in Tackle Bags, we were singing the blues and seeing red. In other words, we were looking at the psychological analysis of red and blue kits and wearing the red and blue kit in sport, proving that through facts that red is a winner most of the time. From that, I pose the question, should Wire change their kit to predominantly red instead of blue? Well, as you can imagine, that caused a bit of a stir, especially on Facebook. Had quite a few people moaning for changing it, but not that many.
Dennis, so anyway, do you mean moaning or do you mean hurling abuse?
It was mostly hurling abuse. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I'm not psychologically or mentally scarred by it, but, you know, the mere fact that if you suggest changing the kit, it's reflected in the percentages as well, actually. Yes, only 6% agreed, as it was. Ginger Thomas wrote, it would be good if it looked like the Welsh football kit of 1976 to 80. This is going really retro, isn't it? Terry Yorath was my favourite player. I'd love to see his daughter in a tight fit.
Oh, stop right there. Yeah.
No, 94%. This was off Plimrose and Brew. She said, I can't change now. I've got a large tattoo of Les Boyd on my right buttock with the Warrington colours. Mm. And she does go on and say, although the colours faded a bit on the crack side. Oh, that's terrible. Anyway. This week, I think I'm going to have to change it from tackle bags in this shutdown period to saddle bags. I think that's what I think I'm going to do. So we'll redo that jingle next week. This week, I'm going to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to think
this around.
Not the other
one you thought of, Dennis.
What?
Not the other one you came up with.
No. I can't broadcast that. Anyway, it really does put you off.
Hey, that threw you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Right, this week we're going to look at activities that can be conducted by players during the lockdown period to keep themselves in tip-top trim and mentally stimulated through the time. So I've been sourcing the best advice from the internet as to some of the ideas and things. And so this week I thought, well, everybody's doing it. The fitness video. So what fitness video should we use? So the fitness video of choice is one by Jason the Core Altidore. It's not there. No, it's not Busty Bags. So anyway, this guy, he does a toilet roll exercise video. He comes in and he says, got toilet paper? I know you do. Stuck at home? I know you are. No workout to do? I got you. Yeah, see, there you go. You got your toilet roll. So, you know, he tells the CTV News. He came up with the idea of the video because he thought there was a lot of people haven't got workout equipment in the home, and he understands that not everyone has access to a personal gym. I think he also should have added that everyone has a shit as well and needs toilet roll, but he didn't really mention that one. Anyway, he said he's had some cheeky posts over his particular video, 3,000 views, 100 comments. He notes his feedback from the short video has been overwhelmingly positive, with a lot of people thanking him and putting a smiley face during these tough times. What he didn't mention was some of the negative comments, and I'll just pick up on a couple of those. There was a few, obviously, shit emojis, which, you know, it's quite obvious, I suppose. Someone's questioning him, where did you get all that toilet paper? Because obviously recognising that he's a bit of a hoarder.
Oh, a hoarder.
Crack me up. Think somebody's thingy. Interestingly, us ladies can't use the tissue now, it's been rolled over the floor. He said you can use it to wipe the sweat up.
What are you going on about? What are you going on about?
I'm just
giving you the point of this.
There isn't really a point.
Is this what isolation does to you?
Yeah, I think the point I'm making is that this is the best of the troll of fitness videos that you can do. So basically, it gives a workout using toilet rolls that you've obviously got because you've hoarded up. So, you know, that's
so
where...
This week's tackle bags is use toilet, lift toilet rolls to get you rid of your bingo wings.
Exactly, yes. He does lots of exercises, like Pilates sort of type exercise, aerobic type exercises with toilet rolls. Go online. His name's... what's his name? I forgot his name. Oh, yeah. Jason the Core Altidore. There you go.
Now, Dennis, the listeners won't be able to see that you're basically wearing a hat similar to Benny from Crossroads all those years ago. And really, I'd have expected Benny from Crossroads to come up with a better tackle bag suggestion than that.
Oh, well, you know, the thing about it is you've got a limited amount of access of information now you're all in lockdown, haven't you? You know what I mean? Your sort of internet's coming in and out periodically. Is the electrics fading fast now? That's the next thing to go. Yeah. So anyway, do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea, Matt. Wake up, Matt. Wake up.
You're going to find out how horrible he is now. Look at him. What do you think, Matt?
Inspired, mate. Inspired.
Well, I know that was a good idea this week, and that was the Warrington Wolves ringing round all the elderly. My mum and dad got a lovely call from the club. So if anything good comes out of this year, hats off to the Warrington Wolves, whoever in thought of doing this, because it was an absolutely superb idea. My mum took a phone call from a lovely lady at the Warrington Wolves just to ask if they were okay, etc. She wouldn't give the phone to my dad because clearly he wanted to talk about tactics to Steve Price, but it was fantastic to see. Although I hear not every phone call went according to plan.
Oh, g'day. Is that Mrs. Braithwaite speaking?
Yes, it is. Who is it?
Oh, it's Steve Price from the Wolves.
Are you trying to sell me something?
No, I'm just calling from the Wolves.
The Wolves? The Wolves? Who are the Wolves?
Warrington Rugby League team, Mrs. Braithwaite.
Who?
Rugby League.
Oh, well, why did you say so? What did you say your name was?
That's Steve Price. I'm the coach.
Coach? Coach? Well, don't talk to me about coaching. You're hardly suspect, but are you?
I don't really know who he is.
Who is he? How dare you? He won the championship in 1955!
Yeah, well, I know that, but I just wanted to make sure you were safe and everything was okay there. We're trying to hand over...
Why wouldn't I be?
Well, I just thought maybe...
Listen here! I lived through the war, you know! Well, I worked at Gartons! Even when they were bombed, we all carried on!
Yeah, I know, but you just need to be a little bit resilient at this time, you know, because things are going to sort of go a little...
Resilient! Resilient! Don't talk to me about bloody resilience!
Well, I just thought a few of the players could help.
Entertaining shit!
No need to be like that. We're just trying, that's all. You know, doing our best and...
Trying? Trying? You're fucking trying!
Oh, sorry, Mrs. Braithwaite.
Listen here! Granddaughter's shown me that bunch of willy wafters on that Instagram thing.
Instagram.
Going on like a bunch of prima donna arseholes!
Well, maybe...
Do you think Harry Bath and Jerry Elm carried on like that?
Yeah, possibly not, but the game's changed. I mean, they're all vegan these
days. Vegan? Vegan? Do you think that Chris Brobank signed Brian Bevan? He was fucking vegan! He smoked 20 bun a day!
I know, but it was different times back then, wasn't
different
it?
Different times? Tell me we won the bloody championship!
All right, calm down, Mrs. Braithwaite. Look, we've got a few of the food packages in the tunnel, and I thought...
Tunnel?
Maybe
whose tunnel are you referring to?
Food packages in the tunnel.
You dirty fucking pervert! I'll report you!
No, don't be like
that. You dirty pervert!
No, it's just...
Reg, get me the whistle! There's a pervert on the phone!
Okay, moving on now. Do you have feelings? I know a young man that does, and he's missing his beloved Wolves.
As the awful occurrence of the coronavirus outbreak hits the world hard, it's hit the world of rugby league also. With the season on pause for the time being, let's reflect on what's been going on in Super League for the Warrington Wolves so far this season. It all started quite well, with a 1-2 record against our two most fierce rivals. It then went a bit pear-shaped, a sort of two steps forward, one step back kind of feel. We have, though, seen an improvement in the last couple of games, for it to all be put on hold. A shame really, because I think after the wake-up call at Leeds, we'd have won more than just the two against Cass and Hull. Looking back though, on past memories of watching Warrington, as a lot of people doing times like this is reminisce. The 2016 season was the breakthrough one for me. The Cup semi-final at Lee, where we beat Wakefield, was just my second game, and I just remember being in amongst the Warrington faithful, and the feeling I had was just immense. If what's going on now has taught us anything, it's to not take anything in life for granted, and I think a lot of people will appreciate Warrington just that bit more when rugby's back, because at the moment it feels like the best sport in the world has been taken from us. I hope whoever listens to this can relate and reminisce on their favourite moments watching Wire, and if so, and you'd like to share, do so by tweeting at WattBevan. So long folks, stay safe, stay home.
Yeah. Matt, you know this Callum, he's a budding young journalist. And we asked Gareth Walker his opinion on what it takes to become a journalist. What advice could you give to our young journalist, Callum?
I'd say just keep writing. keep getting your work out there. Keep doing things like this. Not with not trying to blow smoke or anything.
Christ.
I'm in lockdown. I'm going mad. But no, just keep getting your name out there. Keep writing, and one day, you know, it'll get noticed by the right people if you keep doing that. So no, just keep plugging away.
You hear that, Dennis? You keep plugging away, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all you need to do. Okay. Well, the next game scheduled is Salford, but clearly that won't happen. So instead, perhaps we can all predict whether or when the season will restart. Start with you then, Matt. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think we're going to come back to playing rugby league this year? Do you think we're going to have a little mini competition, five-a-side, goalpost jumpers down on the park? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it will restart this year at some point. But obviously, the unclear thing now is of course when it's going to restart and how it's going to restart. It's all very up in the air at the minute. I think the latest is that Magic is quite vulnerable in terms of, you know, how the competition will be restructured, because you have to wonder when it'll be squeezed in. It's not just the rugby league season you've got to think about, it's the football season now, because obviously Magic was going to be played at the end of May, where the football season's done. Now, you know, the football season could go on through the summer and, you know, into the autumn. So it could be that St James's Park and any football grounds unavailable. And it could be that Magic, you know, gets knocked on the head.
Although, I mean, last year, though, I mean, it was good of the rugby league to sort of have a hindsight to think ahead, because they seemed to play the Magic weekend in isolation at Anfield with no one turning up. So
I didn't mind Anfield in so much that, you know, it was 20 minutes down the road. But, you know, I do get the appeal of Newcastle, you know, with the city centre location. You know, everyone I spoke to about Anfield, you know, it was a bit of a pain in the backside to get to from the city centre in Liverpool. But I can see why Newcastle appeals on that front. And it's a weekend away, isn't it? And, you know, Newcastle's got its attractions on that front. But,
you know,
I think,
do you know what, Matt? I agree with you. In terms of a weekend away, both Cardiff and Newcastle, for me, are the best venues in terms of coming in and out of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I love Edinburgh, but it's like 3 miles down the road to actually get to the stadium. And you've got a similar thing with Liverpool and the Etihad. I love the Etihad as a stadium, but you've got to walk out of the city centre. So Newcastle works that way, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. I think, like you say, Cardiff and Newcastle would be my top two anyway. I never got up to Edinburgh, but I did get to Cardiff and it was great. But I think Magic will end up getting knocked on the head. There's a theory that loop fixtures might go as well, which would obviously open up 6-7 weeks in team schedules. But I think there's a bit of reluctance among clubs to do that, because, you know, that's 3 or 4 home games gone straight away off your revenue, when revenue is going to be tight anyway through this period. There is a reluctance there. It's all up in the air, and, you know, I don't think you're going to find a solution that's going to please everybody, and there will be an element of, you know, just grin and bear in it, I think, because you're trying to please the maximum amount of people, and it's a completely unprecedented situation that no one could foresee, and, you know, it's who knows at this stage.
Tricky, isn't it? Dennis, your thoughts? So you think we're coming back this year, or it's going to be a write-off? Gone.
Cancelled. Now, how can you bring it back? What's going to happen in 12 weeks? There's still going to be a virus around, so they're either going to have to say, I've said it.
He's mentioned it.
Oh, yeah, it's still going to be around, isn't it? So what are you going to do?
I think we should just have a game of Rollerball. Do you remember that film Rollerball?
Oh, yeah. James Caan, wasn't it?
Hey,
yeah.
Pick two or three players from each team. Who would we put in our Rollerball team? Who'd we stick in there? Sitiliti Akawala. Although I think he's probably got quite a high level of gravity.
No, you'd get about 20 minutes out of him if he has wheels. You know, just get someone push him round. Like Danny Walker's legs pushing him round.
Yeah. I tell you, he'd be very good if he was back fit, and that'd be Jack Hughes. He plays 80 minutes most games.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't be called, yeah, be called Rollerball, not Rollerballs. Talking of past and present tense, though, while we're on that subject, Matt, have you come across this with Steve at all? Did you change his duns for his dids and his dids for his duns? Where are you standing with this one?
You do notice it, but I think if I pointed it out, I'd probably get one of the famous Steve Price death stares.
Yeah. That'd be death stared.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's it. Please, all of you, look after yourselves and your loved ones. We will try and continue to come up with some form of bullshit. But to start with, we're looking to do our first podcast phone-in. If you'd like to be involved in our shit Noel Edmonds-style telecast, please get in touch on WhatBevan via Twitter, Brian Bevan on Facebook, or email whatbevan@gmail.com. So, with everyone's isolation continuing, it's a desolate Robinson Crusoe Man Friday wave from Sam.
All the best, guys.
A big thank you and a castaway destitute bobbing up and down like a deflated Wilson basketball. Warrington Guardian goodbye from Matt.
Stay safe, everybody. Look after yourselves. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Matt. It's been wonderful. And a Terry Waite-styled solidarity confinement handcuffed to a Beirut kidnapper's radiator whimper from Dennis.
Bithynia.
My name's Rob London. I'm off to sterilise my Spartomatic Warrington top in Vladivar vodka. Could you imagine a year without Super League? You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I tell you what, it's good to get a bloke on like Matt and not you two arseholes.
Fabulous.
Imagine there's no fifth tackle. It's easier for a try. No season tickets. Just viewing through your sky. Imagine all the players living for marquee pay. Imagine there's no Super League. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to go to the big screen for. And no Stuart Cummings too. Imagine all the players with no fear of relegation too. You may say I am a bullshitter, and it's not just Robert Elston. I hope someday you'll join us, and English Rugby League will be as one. Imagine no knock-ons. I wonder if you can. No need for greed from Josh Hodgson. Just a hooker and a cameraman. Imagine all the players with no third man in the tackle too. You may say I'm a bullshitter, and it's not just Robert Elston. I hope someday you'll join us, and English Rugby League can be as one.